sexy people. It is Dave. It is Duncan.
Wasabi bitches.
Back from Metal Epidemic.
It's a conversation offline.
For another album review. And for this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from French hardcore band.
French? Never in a million years. Never in a million fucking years. I had them America. America! Oh. Fuck yeah. I had them so America that I was prepared to change the name of my French fries to Freedom Fries.
No, we are going to France for this one, Duncan.
Bonjour, eh?
Oui, oui. Sorcerer. The band's new album, Devotion, will be released on April 19th via Frozen Records.
Loving everything that's happening right now. Tickling my taint with a feather.
Comprised of musicians who have also played in such bands as Worst Doubt, Mind Awake, Providence, and Jawcrack.
Jawcrack is such a name for a band.
Parisian outfit Sorcerer are about to drop their debut full-length album, Devotion.
Sorcerer, I'm going to be up in your hometown in October, bitch.
Oh,
in Paris.
Hello there.
Swing my dick.
Swinging your baguette. Their debut EP, Joy, was released in April 2021, then followed up by three-track EP, Pleasures, in 2022, which saw the band explore further away from the classic hardcore boundaries. The following year saw the band release a split with shoegazers Pensé Slow.
We need to check them out because they've just used a keyword.
Leading them on a path of their first anticipated album. Teaming up with producer Amore Suave. Sorcerer's aim is to assess its singularity by recording the album live. While keeping...
Oh, it feels like I'll tell them they have achieved that because it sounds very much like a fucking live album.
While keeping a modern approach and the precision and the violence inherent to its roots. Okay, so Sorcerer and Devotion. First of all, I don't know what it is, but I kind of love the album artwork for Devotion.
Yeah, right, so describe it for those that don't have the image, i.e. Yeah. those that are maybe listening to the podcast version of this and not the YouTube version, where you handily put the album artwork above your head.
It's a very simple cover, and it's a gentleman in a chainmail hood.
Yes.
Evoking a very medieval type vibe.
Yes.
But at the same time, he also looks emotionally devastated. You can see the tear marks on his face. I found it a very powerful album cover. When I saw it, I was like, that's fucking very simple but very effective at the same time.
I had that kind of being a little bit of a history geek, I had that sort of feeling of Knights of the Crusade, that idea of devotion, religion, being overwhelmed with the love for something beyond yourself and being unable to process how that feels. There is a story painted on this guy's face.
Yes.
It's very captivating. It's simple, but it's fucking great. Yeah. So very much like yourself, I was in. But, and we've spoken about this slightly off air, I did see A Knight in Chainmail and instantly I was thinking, my favourite album last year for a little band called Poison Ruin. And they did Medieval Punk. And that was fucking awesome. And I didn't know I needed it. And before I even hit play on this bitch, before I even pressed the play button, I was hovering above it, like the dangling sword of Damocles. I was like this, getting ready to hit play.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't even know what the genre was, because on iTunes, when I imported this in, it just says unknown genre. Which is not helpful, iTunes. But that's because the files have been given with unknown genre. I was like that. Give me Poison Ruin V2. And I hit play.
Yeah.
It's not Poison Ruin.
It's not.
But This is Poison Ruin's angrier, angsty cousin that does things for his friends, for his family, and make sure that everyone's okay in the pit.
Poison
Ruin,
which
is not like what's like at a Poison Ruin gig. Trust me, people get fucked at a Poison Ruin gig. There's people doing like illegal elbows and using steel chairs. Fuck you.
Drop kicks.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Poison Ruin are American, aren't they?
Poison Ruin are American. They're from, it's Boston, I think.
Is it? Right, okay.
Yeah, it's East, they're an East Coast band.
East Coast.
Which you can see why. When you listen to this, with all the will in the world, I don't know how you listen to this and go, French.
French, Duncan.
No. Maybe on the production side, but on the sound side, like the genre they're encapsulating is as American as fucking apple pie.
Oh, Duncan.
Apple pie, Dave.
Apple pie and Cool Whip. Love French hardcore.
I know you love it, but this doesn't sound like French hardcore. This is American styled French hardcore.
Very French.
You are not the ambassador of France.
When
Dave.
I saw there were members of Washed Out.
Right, but
also
you've read that
French
hardcore.
Like, if you
blind tested this,
all made sense.
Right, but see, if you were like blind testing Coke and French. Fucking Pepsi, that's what I'm talking about. Like in isolation, which I was because I had a depressed statement, I listened to the riffs here, I listened to the solos here, French. I listened to the delivery here, and out with the production, which is French, I'm like, this sims fucking American. This sounds like
French.
Y'all have a nice day now, you hear? That's what sounds like to me.
No.
Even vocally, the vocalist does not have
French.
A French accent. How dare you?
I don't know. Maybe I just maybe listen to a lot of French hardcore.
You do? Well, in fairness, if we were on Mastermind right now, my specialist subject would not be French hardcore. No. You would be. You'd be very good at it as well.
Yeah, as I said, I love French metal in general. It's one of my favourite places.
We did call you French Dave for a while.
Did we? This one did not disappoint. In the slightest,
we did. Now I'm doubting myself. Maybe we didn't.
I love the way this album starts. So the first track on this is called Badlands, and kind of sets the tone on the album straight away, which is partly an intro of kind of dark chords, a little bit of organ in there. There's eerie kind of atmosphere. Basically, it's very much living up to its name of Badlands for me when it kicked in. But that
also
track
starts very similar to Poison Ruin, which is not is not a slight. That fucking album is amazing, but I love the this is one song, and instead of doing the, let's be honest, lazy thing of giving you the instrumental bit in the song, let's make it one song. Like, see, when these guys play live, that's going to play right into the one song.
Absolutely.
And that's the way I want to see it live, so
When that happened, when that track kicks in full, it was like, okay, here we go. This is French hardcore at its finest.
This is French hardcore that sounds American. That's well, we're giving our perspective, so that's my point.
But also not a predictable opener either. I expected this to be like the furnace track, which would just go like scorched earth, and it is savage. It's a very, very heavy track, don't get me wrong, but they've added this kind of this layer, this element of very cold, very kind of bleak kind of lead work to the track, which gives it a much darker vein, and cleverly links back to the intro of the track being all kind of dark and gloomy. The second track, though, Eternal Grief, that one does pick up a bit more in the pace. It gives me more of what I kind of expected from the opening track. I could hear a little bit of Fellow Countrymen Worst Doubt on the track, which I'm a big fan of. It's very, very beatdown heavy. It's got a touch of the kind of early metalcore in there as well. Mm-hmm. But again, has this really this coldness to us, this darkness. And I loved that kind of tone on the album. And they ramp that up at times, like on the title track, has a really kind of interesting mix of a little bit of kind of like, almost kind of post-hardcore in there. If, to be honest, that track had a little tinge of the British to it.
Some bass slides that I love. Boom. Yeah. Like, it's just fucking great,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. But it's mixed with that kind of harder edged kind of French sound. Most of the tracks are fairly straight and to the point. They don't really feel the need to kind of linger on a section or, you know, repeat it multiple times. It's a very like razor sharp kind of like over kind of quicker than like a knife fight in a phone booth, but in the arms of mortality, it kind of lures you in with like a false sense of security. It's got this kind of clean intro, just kind of building up kind of quietly, and then it goes fucking nuts. Like,
yeah,
mix of tempos is like coming from everywhere. They've bits that are a bit more kind of thrashy in places. The transition of the breakdown though is my favorite part of the whole track.
Yeah.
It's killer. They do this really cool kind of drum fill that kind of speeds up as they're playing and it leads into the breakdown, which is just, it's a baller move, and they nail it, absolutely nail it on that track.
It reminds me of, we used to talk about this a lot back in the day when we were in a band and writing music. There's that, it's on the first Chimera album where there's a bit where they go, like the kicking with it, like you think it's going to hit thrashy, and then they instantly half time it after the four count. You're just like, whoa! Yeah. Like, I love that because it's playful, but it's not like, it's not silly.
Yeah,
it's just kind of setting up a false expectation, but still being very much within the tempo. Mm. Fucking awesome, man.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was awesome. Then there are moments where they do let things play out a little longer. Fortress is one that kind of pushes the length a little bit. It's got some heavy Poison Ruin vibes at the start with the synths.
Salt Bay in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Which was, you're still getting that kind of medieval kind of vibe to it. But that track, that's going to be killer live because it's got a really kind of slow, kind of churning kind of groove to it, but it has this huge chant of the word fortress throughout it as well. Mm-hmm. When I was listening to that, I was like, that's like, crowds are going to eat that up. That's just going to be something you're going to hear being chanted back. The bass tone on that track is delicious, Duncan. It is. Oh.
Delicious.
It is.
Literally the last word of the track.
It is magnifique, Duncan. There's a whole section where they just let the bass play on its own with the drums, and it's absolutely fire. They do it on the closing track as well, and I love that. Just you know, like, just take the guitars out for a sec, just let the bass do its thing, and it was awesome to hear. On A Kindness, they switch up the rhythm a little bit, which I quite liked. It's got a bit more of a, almost like a kind of Will Haven kind of type sway to it.
100% Will Haven sway.
Yep.
Yes, Dave.
Yes.
They're an American band, aren't they? Yeah, just
American. They're American, yeah, they are American. That track, it almost feels like more kind of transitional.
100% a transitional track in the last two, yeah.
But it does, like, as it starts to get towards the end, it builds up and it starts to get really heavy. There's a really cool groove towards the end. The bell jar, when that kind of started, I was like, all right, okay, this is cool. Maybe felt a little bit kind of lukewarm to begin with. But then it's one of these tracks that kind of starts to build momentum as it goes. And then the groove that they lock into is just like hella hefty. They also play a bit more with some of the kind of more kind of spacious moments between the kind of lead work and the bass on that track, which makes what comes next on Someone Else's Skin more effective. Yeah. It's the closing track and the longest track at 7 minutes.
Yeah, by about double the length of anything on this. So
yeah, and this is the kind of track where you're getting to hear them kind of stretch themselves a bit more, be a bit more expansive. They're bringing in some kind of bleaker chords. The synths, the bass work gets a little bit more flexible in places. But they still, like, they drop in these really, like, punchy moments where the riffs get really savage and the drums, you know, they really start to kind of utilize a double bass drum as well. I'm usually not a huge fan of fade outs, but actually I found it really worked on the closing track here, especially the way they kind of draw in just to kind of synths and clean guitar right at the very end. I thought it was actually a really good closer. This is great. Like, it's for me, it was very French, and it gives you all the elements you'd want from a hardcore album, but also gives you more, something a bit more tone, different moods. There's like atmosphere in there as well, and like when I got to the end, I was like, okay, that was fucking awesome. I just want to play it again. And then when I started to play it again, I was like, yeah, man, this is a debut album here. What the hell is going on?
That doesn't make any sense.
What
to
the
me
fuck?
At all.
Like,
that doesn't make
album
any sense
one
to me at all.
Because I was thinking about the way they'd kind of like they've pinned this album together in terms of the flow and keeping that kind of vibe consistent throughout the album. I was like, this doesn't feel like a band on their first release. Like, this is not like we're just kind of like testing things out. This feels like a band that really know what type of sound they're going for, and they've nailed it already.
But then you're talking about a pedigree from that PR statement there, a pedigree of musicians that have come from other bands.
Plenty of experience.
You imagine this collective is setting out an idea of what a vision of what they want to deliver. Mm. And sometimes it's easier to do that. Yeah. Like, I always think about like when that first Audioslave album came out, and like people were like, oh, it's like it worked so much better than, and it sounded exactly what I thought was going to sound like if you put Chris Cornell singing over Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
So like, I kind of feel like it seems accomplished because the musicians are accomplished.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean, it seems better than it probably should.
Mm.
You know what I mean? For what they're doing, it seems fully realised.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no gaps here. There's no, like, this is a side project. This feels like this is the focus, and as a result of that, kind of, it holds more weight.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I don't know
that. Finally, like, production-wise, I know they said they recorded this live, but like, it doesn't lack any power. Like, this still absolutely slaps you. And the fact that they have recorded this together as a band only accentuates the kind of groove on this and that natural kind of feel and cohesion they have as a band on this. So like, production is top drawer. Like, it fits this sound perfectly. I thoroughly enjoy it. This is like, I'm a mark for this type of stuff, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. What about yourself? What do you think?
So there's a phrase, right? There's a phrase, you know, that says, I'm going to get medieval on your ass.
Yeah.
And I think that should just be transitioned to, I'm going to get medieval on your genre. And I want that. I want that in everything now. I want a medieval industrial album. I want a medieval new metal album. Mm-hmm. If it exists. We came out last year with me, like, High on Life and Poison Ruin. Mm. And I want to stress this again, out with the similarities on specifically the vibe they're going for, not the genre. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of connective tissue here.
Mm-hmm.
Musically, they're very different bands. Production wise, very different bands.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself enthralled with that last year, where I was like, I like the package. Everything they're doing just works for me.
Mm-hmm.
That transitions to Sorcerer. I like the package. I like what they're doing. Like, I like the whole thing. The whole thing as a group together, as the way they're presenting to me, works.
Mm.
I think, like yourself, I was instantly drawn in with the album artwork.
Mm.
I wanted to hit play really, really, really quick on it because I was just like, I want to know what this sounds like, because it's given me what I think is a vibe. But I don't know what that vibe is. Mm. I was very surprised what, like, 30 seconds into it when it was a hardcore album. I'm not a French hardcore historian or enthusiast. To me, when I heard it, it reminded me a lot of American hardcore. Mm. So I just assumed, right, they're from the same part of the world as Poison Ruin. Maybe a wee influence there. Punk and hardcore is not that far apart genre wise, or maybe it's seeping through. Maybe there's an underground that I am not aware of. Come to find out on this recording, they're French, which would explain a lot, specifically in the production. Moreover, on the last song, actually, Someone Else's Skin has elements that reminded me of a kind of hardcore Gorgiera.
Mm.
In terms of the way the track breaks down, specifically the percussion linking up with the drum, it had that French vibe about it.
Mm.
But I just kind of parked that to the side in favour of I know where they're from. I like this band a lot, right? Mm. We talk about, and we have talked about a lot, about how there is this kind of weird renaissance for hardcore music, specifically kind of mid to late 90s, maybe very early 2000s hardcore. Mm. And I'm kind of love it. It was a genre that I could have not given less of a fuck about when it was happening. But now revisiting a lot of that stuff, specifically bands that are influenced from it, I find myself more interested in it. Mm-hmm. I think there's a weird maturity to how I approach it now, where I approach it not with nostalgia, but more with this was something that I wasn't interested in at the time. I'm going to re-examine it with more mature ears and see what I can pick out of it. And yeah, I actually pick out less of the angst, which the music is predicated on, but actually more on the way it's delivered. That kind of short form, punchy, aggressive tone sits better with me nowadays than it did back then. Same with death metal. Sorcerer have a very direct way of approaching you with their music. And there's some trickery in there with what they do, whether it is inviting you in with intros into songs or quieter moments that belie the heavier moments that come after. But let's not mistake anything that the band does here on Devotion. Ultimately, when it comes to it, their hardcore chops are on display prominently all the way through it. Mm. And they're very fucking good at it. This album has riffs for days. Mm. Like, honestly, what I found so interesting about it is just when I was like that, well, there's no way they can add another riff onto this track. We've had about seven already. I think I've had my hardcore fill right now. And then they would drop a little breakdown and I'd be like, I could probably squeeze that one in. they keep switching up in a really inventive way. They never seem to be overly concerned about the verse chorus attitude. Mm. And as a result, you might get two interludes on a track, which actually works really, really well. Mm. Love the vocals on this. Absolutely. Like, there's a tone, it sits in a slightly higher register than you would expect from a hardcore vocalist. Mm. And when I say slightly higher, I don't mean it's like fucking, what's these tits from the band where he's like, you know, the guy we just saw. What's their name again? We just saw them live. Their album's about
Darkness?
No, not the Darkness. Hardcore band.
Oh,
Knockloose. They're not as in like, everybody, motherfucker. You know, like where he seems like he's just huffed helium and then being given a mic. It's a register that is, it's gruff, but it sits slightly higher than what you would expect. Mm. I fucking love it, though. Yeah. I actually think it instantly differentiates them from pretty much all the other group of bands. Mm. Also love the tone.
Yeah.
Like, the tone, just not even, like, the actual register, but the tone is consistent throughout. Mm-hmm. It feels like a natural tone for him, not one that he's having to put too much into.
Yeah.
He kind of splits between doing very to the beat kind of rhythmic vocals, hardcore style, mm-hmm. and other bits where he plays on it a little bit more and he almost subverts expectations. And I found myself getting lost in, that's really smart, that's a technique I wouldn't have expected, it's really interesting he went there. Not stuff that I generally do with hardcore albums, mm-hmm. where I'm kind of just, there's an expectation the vocalist will do this. And guess what? When you're listening to it, that's what they do. And it fits, and that's fine. So there's a bit of playfulness here. The composition in terms of the structure of how tracks are mixed and their placement on the album works really, really well. No two tracks here, once again, I've mentioned this before tonight, but there was a theme through albums, seem too similar, even though they are coherently the same album. Thought that worked. I love the closing track. The closing track is the first indication that this band has more than meets the eye, like a transformer. Like, you go from tracks. The longest track in this album is a fucking cunt here, right? Under, would demonetize because of that, sorry. a cunt here under 5 minutes. And at that point, it was Fortress, and like you say, it was a lot of chanting, a lot of that's why that song's that length. When I saw the original lineup of the songs, I was like, the closing track, 7 minutes. Right. It's a risky move, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out. Plays out perfect.
Yeah.
I, unlike you, don't have an issue with fade outs. I'd like you have a fucking weird phobia. Phobia of the fade out. There'll be a Latin name for it, probably. I like them. If used well, this is used really, really well. But that closing track has lots of different movements. It kind of is almost like a smorgasbord of everything on the album displayed in front of you. But it teases more.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that when I got to the end of the album, I was actually sitting in the position where, like, that these guys have more that they haven't shown us yet. Mm. Like, there's more they can do. Yeah. And I got very, very excited about that, because encapsulated in the what we're talking about here in this album, it's not a particularly long album overall, but encapsulated in this length, you get a lot of what they can do. And on that last track, they're just like hint at something more that we didn't quite give you fully.
Mm-hmm.
And that might come out as it goes on. It baffles and blows the mind that this is a debut. It feels so confident and so assured of its sound. And that visual aspect of the night, the themes that work through, the name of the band, all works hand in hand, so it feels like a complete vision.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, production on this is fucking awesome. We say that almost about every French band.
Yeah.
There's something in the water over there where producers are just like, this is how you produce an album. And it's hard to argue that it's not how you produce an album.
Mm.
It just, it works really, really well. I would love to see them live.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that if I went to see them live, there'd be not a lot of windmilling. That's just what I'm hoping. I hate hardcore crowds, I'll be honest. Not Loose recently ruined me for that now. But I'd be curious. I would love to see how this transcends live. Having seen Poison Ruin live, it was much more intense than I was expecting. It was like a proper punk show that they put on. There was no gimmicks, there was nothing medieval about it. Mm. They just came out and played in a small, sweaty venue, like really full on punk songs. I'm interested to see what Sorcerer do. I'm kind of hoping that they just come out as a hardcore band displaying what they do as a hardcore band and the crowd get into it. It's a really, 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 really well put together album. I'm stoked to see where they go next. They're very young in their career and it already kind of sounds like they know where they want to go.
Yeah.
And turns out I also am on the same journey with them on that. I kind of want more of this.
Yeah.
So we'll see where it takes them. So I believe this is the point where you do scores.
It is, Duncan. I think standing out in the French hardcore scene, or the hardcore scene in general, to be honest, is quite difficult. But
it's
I think
crowded the elevator at the moment. There's a lot of bands pushing that way. So
yeah, I think these guys are definitely onto something here. That's a little bit out with the kind of norm. There's something more distinctive about this band that's only going to get even more unique as they grow as a band. I really like this. I think, like, for me, like a solid, really good hardcore album usually sits like a 4 out of 5. This band feel like they are pushing it that bit more. They're pushing the dial. So I'm going to go 4.5 on this one. I think they'd be awesome to see live. If they're anything like the French hardcore band we saw supporting Knocked Loose, which was...
Oh, Headbusser.
Headbusser.
Oh, they were fucking awesome live.
Yeah.
And we heard them, we literally heard them like a couple of days before, like on their EP release, and I was like, this is cool. And then we saw it live and we were like, this is really fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, they brought it. So
they were
turns
violent.
Out the French know they're hardcore.
They
who would have thought it? A country which isn't predominantly known for antagonistic riots against autocratic governments. It's not in their blood.
No, not at all.
Makes total sense.
What about yourself? Did this bake your baguette, Duncan?
Did it bake my baguette? No, it didn't, Dave, because I would go to a bakery where artisans of baking goods would give me a freshly baked baguette and I would eat it morishly and demand more. I think you're like spot on with the score. This is a 4.5. It's giving me something I didn't know I needed.
Mm.
I don't think it's... I think unlike Poison Ruin, which was like five, give it a fucking five, all the fives. This one here, I think specifically after that last track, they gave me a hint of something more that they haven't given me yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's what will give it the five. I think the next album could be there.
Yeah.
I think, like, bizarre to see album number two might be like a five star album, but I honestly wouldn't dispute it on this one. Yeah. It's a 4.5. It's a fucking great album. I've been spoiled this week. I've honestly been spoiled with music, and Sorcerer are one of those ones which to me are from left field, didn't know anything about them, are totally on the radar. Can't wait to see them live. Scotland isn't far from France. The Old Alliance is what they call it over here. Hopefully we get a chance to check them out over the next year. Because I think they'll bring it, man. If Absolutely. It's even half as good as what it sounds like here, we're in for a fucking treat. 4.5!
Nice. Sorcerer Devotion out on April 19th on Frozen Records. Links below. Check them out. Have a listen, see what you think. That is the review. Thank you for checking out. We'll be back with another review very soon. But until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.